The epistle quoted for this, the first Sunday of Lent, is taken from the second epistle of St. Paul to the Corinthians. Brethren, we entreat you not to receive the grace of God in vain. For he says, "In acceptable time I have heard thee, and in the day of salvation I have helped thee. Behold, now is the acceptable time. Behold, now is the day of salvation. We give no offense to anyone, that our ministry may not be blamed. On the contrary, let us conduct ourselves in all circumstances as God's ministers, in much patience in tribulation, in hardships, in distresses, in stripes, in imprisonments, in tumults, in labors, in sleepless nights, in fastings, in innocence, in knowledge, in long sufferings, in kindness, in the Holy Spirit, in unaffected love, in the word of truth, in the power of God, with the armor of justice on the right hand and on the left, in honor and dishonor, in evil report and good report, as deceivers as yet truthful, as unknown and yet well known, as dying and behold we live, as chastised but not killed, as sorrowful yet always rejoicing, as poor yet enriching many, as having nothing yet possessing all things." Please stand for the Holy Gospel, which is according to St. Matthew. At that time, Jesus was led into the desert by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil. And after fasting 40 days and 40 nights, he was hungry. And the tempter came and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, command that these stones become loaves of bread." But he answered and said, "It is written, not by bread alone does man live, but by every word that comes forth from the mouth of God." Then the devil took him to the holy city and set him on the pinnacle of the temple and said to him, "If thou art the Son of God, throw thyself down, for it is written, he has given his angels charge concerning thee, and upon their hands they shall bear thee up, lest thou dash thy foot against a stone." Jesus said to him, "It is written further, thou shalt not tempt the Lord thy God." Again the devil took him to a very high mountain and showed him all the kingdoms of the world and the glory of them. And he said to him, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me." Then Jesus said to him, "Begone, Satan, for it is written, the Lord thy God shalt thou worship, and him only shalt thou serve." Then the devil left him, and behold, angels came and ministered to him. This is the end of the epistle and gospel reading. Please be seated. In the name of the Father, Son, Holy Ghost, amen. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Brethren, we entrust you not to receive the grace of God in vain. In the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Ghost, amen. In this morning's epistle, St. Paul is bringing out to his hearers, again to the Corinthians, about the Word of God, and how some of them just took it in vain, just didn't really care about it. And so he's trying to encourage them once again to pay attention and to try to change their lives to start living the Word of God. St. Paul also has prepared us. As we know, this is the first Sunday of Lent, and before that was Septuagesima. The three Sundays there where St. Paul was trying to remind us, first of all, of his sufferings, of all the things that St. Paul had to endure, the fastings, the chastisements, the shipwrecks, the sleepless nights, the list goes on and on and on. But he's trying to impress upon us about the glory of all these things, that we suffer, no matter what, all these things for the love of our Lord. That's what's most important, that we endure all these things for the love of God. And next Sunday, he speaks about a race. Yes, we are in a race. A race to win. And what are we winning? The salvation of our soul. The incorruptible crown. So he reminds us there that as we walk through life, we've got to keep the goal in mind. Always looking for the prize. But the third and last Sunday, he talks about charity. And without charity, we might not even observe Lent at all. It's worthless. It ain't going to happen. That's how much importance that virtue is. But as we start Lent, we ourselves have got to remember, it's not like Advent. Advent's kind of a joyous occasion. Lent and the church fast imposed on these days is meant to hurt. That's the reason why it's given to us. That we abstain from food and drink and merriment and games and movies and everything and try to focus our attention more on our prayers, on spiritual reading, on meditating on the passion of our Lord, to try to say the Stations of the Cross every day and meditating on each mystery as you walk around the church or in your homes with your own way the Stations prayer booklet. It's not about prayers, but meditating on what we are, what each one represents. It all started out with our Lord's love for us and him accepting the very first thing, the condemnation to death. He condemned to death, and so on. But for us, we got to remember, too, that while we're beginning Lent here, we don't want to make too many resolutions because we'll never keep them. Making one or two and trying to fulfill those, it would be sufficient enough. The best resolution is to offer up our daily duties a little bit more better than we did yesterday or in past times. To do our spiritual reading a little bit more better than we did in former times. To persevere in our prayers and be more earnest as we pray, not in a hurry and trying to get it done so we can go do something else. We're trying to stay focused on the whole atmosphere of what the Lenten season is all about. We heard on Ash Wednesday, our Lord starts it off, we are going up to Jerusalem, where the Son of Man will be betrayed and scourged and spat upon, and they'll crucify him, and on the third day he will rise again. The apostles didn't understand any of this. They didn't understand a single word. Because for the last few years, everything our Lord did, he usually got out of it with either a miracle or some sign. And so when he said this, they were just went right over their heads. But for us, we know what this is about. And so now we've got to try to conform our lives to this. That we give up something substantial during Lent so we can wash away the shortcomings of other times. And be joyous for the Feast of Easter, because that's what we're looking forward to when this is over with. And when we think about it, it's only 40 days. Compared that we fast for only 40 days, and the rest of the time, what do we do? It's hard to even compare between the two. But the thing is, we have to be strong, and we have to not be afraid. That the good Lord will help us through all this. And if you read the epistles and gospels through the Lenten season, and especially the prayers of the church, how the church is praying for us, that through our penance and our prayers and our almsgiving, that God will be appeased and reward us for our effort. Because after all, let us remember, we put ashes on your forehead. Another reminder. Remember, man, that thou art dust, and unto dust thou shalt return. We have to keep always reminded, too, of our last end. Because we never know when the good Lord is going to summon us. Over the past few years, I've been fortunate to catch few people at the 11th hour. And if you want the truth, that's cutting it close. For people to finally make peace with their God. And it's not an easy task. But see, even then, the Lord's mercy, even at that time, cannot be undone. So as we prepare ourselves for the Lenten season, try to pay very close attention to the epistle and gospel readings. If you don't come to Mass during the weekday, try to meditate on those as best you can, because it's very important. We want to stay focused on what our Lord is about to offer for us. And we, in our little way, we got to offer something back to Him. We have to, and if it doesn't hurt, we're not really giving much. So it's got to hurt a little bit. And must not be afraid of it either. Because after all, when we think of the real picture, He is trying to cleanse our souls. That's the whole reason why. And He knows what's best to do it. That's why He keeps giving us, as I would say, stumbling blocks in our lives, where He keeps trying us with our patience, our charity, our kindness, our meekness, and everything else. He gives these things for us to struggle with, to try to overcome, because we have to do this. We can never get away from the crucifixion. He suffered for us. We are going to have to suffer for Him. And we might, if we do it willingly, we'll get more graces for us. If we do it unwillingly, He's going to make us carry more crosses until we give in. It's all about love. The whole thing is all about love. The more we love the good Lord, the more we wish to serve Him, the more we wish to suffer for Him, no matter what He sends us. Whatever trial or tribulation, we can't just say, oh, well, it's, you know, why does it have to happen to me and this and that? If we're talking like that or thinking like that, we're not seeing it. We're not seeing it. Our Lord has only one ideal in mind, and that is to purify my soul. So when the summons comes, I'm ready to go. That's why it's so important to persevere in prayers, and that's why it's even more important for everyone to remember, I didn't say this in the first sermon because it didn't come to my mind, to always make an act of contrition before you go to bed at night. Be sincerely sorry for everything you've ever done in your life. We don't want to be caught with an unprovided death. We can provide. We just got to be prudent to do the right things. That's where power of prayer comes into play. That's why it's so important to make acts of contrition nighttime, make acts of spiritual communion during the daytime. Always reminding the Lord that you love Him, trying to serve Him to the best of your ability, and then we go about our daily duties. So if we do these things and others during Lent, we'll be blessed. And pray that the good Lord will wash away our former transgressions. Because after all, that's what this is meant for. So other than that, again, do your very best. That's all that can be expected of us. Outside that, to show the good example outside too. To our family, to our friends, to whoever. Because after all, good examples, the only thing that that we can give to the good world. Because talking doesn't do any good. So our good example is all we got left. So, again, do your very best. Don't be afraid. Trust in the good Lord. And lastly, be grateful. Thank Him always for everything. All the graces, all the blessings, everything He's given in you in life, thank Him always. Because gratitude, you know, even amongst us, goes a long way. It goes a lot longer with the good Lord. May God bless you. In the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.